May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. When I was looking at these two readings, my wife looked at the Isaiah passage and said, that needs a lot of unpacking. Which left me in a quandary as to which passage to preach from. But the reality is, both of them, in actual fact. So the Isaiah passage today speaks of a highway on which the people of God travel. And indeed, the whole Bible tells of the journey of God's people from the time of the creation of the world. It tells of the trials and tribulations of the Israelites, particularly as they depart from that highway, and how badly things went for them when they forgot God. And it also tells of those sent by God to bring his people back onto the right paths. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Moses, and David, who first led people to recognize God's rule and plan for all the earth. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Micah, who pointed forward to the day when God would send the Messiah. And today, third Sunday of Advent, we have three candles lit. The third one being for John the Baptist, who came announcing the coming Messiah and prepared the way for the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible recounts how God repeatedly sends individuals to redirect people onto the path that is the way of holiness that leads ultimately to God himself. A path that John the Baptist spoke of when he declared, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him," preparing for the arrival of God himself in the form of Jesus Christ, the one who asked, "Are you the one who was to come?" And where does that journey start? It started with the creation of the world, the failure of Adam and Eve as they fall into sin, and the curse that sends them out into the world. When they were ejected from the Garden of Eden, they were told this curse: "The land will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, to dust you are, and to dust you will return." Indeed, if we recall, God's people spent 40 years in the desert before reaching the promised land. But even then, they did not reach their ultimate destination. But our reading from Isaiah today speaks of the reversal of that curse, when the dry and parched land will be filled with streams of gushing water. God's people would be redeemed. So we read in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Or as Isaiah put it, "They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God." They will see the glory of the Lord. They, us. Those of us with feeble hands and weak knees. Anybody got any feeble hands and weak knees, or any other joints that don't work particularly well today? I spent the whole week hobbling around because my bunion is complaining like mad that I'm putting my foot on the ground. Joys are getting older. But we all struggle sometimes with things. The jar that you can't open the lid of. Those sorts of things. But it's not about physical things that are being talked about here, those weak knees and hands. but about spiritual failings. Those with fearful hearts, it talks about. Now, all of us struggle at times with the challenges to our faith. And this passage reminded me of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian is asked, "Where are you now?" To which he replies, "I don't know." And it goes on, "Wherefore Christian was left to tumble into the slough of despond alone. But still he endeavoured to struggle to that side of the slough that was farthest from his own house and next to the wicket gate, which he did, but he could not get out because of the burden that was upon his back. But I beheld in my dream that a man came to him whose name was Help and asked him what he did there. 'Sir,' said Christian, 'I was bidden to go this way by a man called Evangelist, who directed me also to yonder gate, that I might escape the wrath to come. And as I was going thither, I fell in here.' 'But why did you not look for the steps?' Christian says, 'Fear followed me so hard that I fled the next way and fell in.' Then Help said, 'Give me thy hand.' So he gave him his hand and drew him out and set him upon some ground and bade him to go his way." We've all been there, haven't we? Where we know we should be accepting a challenge and we find it a bit awesome, so we perhaps get diverted in a different direction. And it only makes the situation worse. But God reaches out his hand to us wherever we are. And that reading from Pilgrim's Progress is an echo of Psalm 40, where it says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." Christian in Pilgrim's Progress was supported and encouraged, and so also is our reading today an encouragement to all who find that the journey they're travelling can sometimes be tough and the way confusing. We're encouraged by those words in verse 4. "Be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come to save you." It's a strong reminder that we need always to focus on God and his purpose for us as we travel on the way of holiness. Christian let fear cause him to flee the next way, resulting in him falling into the slough, and then to cap that with failing to look for the steps that would get him out. How often does our fear of something lead us into something even worse, because we do not trust God who has set out the path before us? How often, like Christian, are we in despair? Do we fail to look for that step that will lead us back to the right path? But we do not need to fear, because God is with us. In the reading from Matthew, we heard of John the Baptist asking Jesus if he was the one who was to come, or if another should be expected. And Jesus' reply was, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Isaiah tells us that if we're strong and do not fear, our God will come and save us, and then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. You wonder if Jesus was thinking about that passage when he responded to John the Baptist. Truly awesome things happen when God is present, not just in our lives, but in everything. Even the burning sand will become a pool and the thirsty ground bubbling springs. The power of God is just unknowable. His awesomeness surrounds us. The wonder of creation. And we need to follow that way of holiness, the way of holiness that is before each one of us. And yes, at times it will be more challenging than at others, but always with us is the promise of Jesus. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. The pathway of God is only for the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord. And we know that we are part of that group, because we're told in the first book of Peter, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which loses their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he's been revealed for your sake. A ransom that we remember with grateful thanks in our service of communion this morning. Amen."